I imagine most of us have been to a wedding, perhaps participated in a wedding, been married. And during the wedding, there's always that part where there's the exchanging of the vows. And the couple will make vows to one another that go something along these lines: to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. It's a vow that says, no matter what happens, I am there for you. That no matter what circumstances befall us, I will stand with you, and that I love you. I will work with you, and I will support you. It's a wonderful profession of love towards our soon, very soon to be spouse. And it's a promise that is made by countless couples a multitude of times throughout the year. In many ways, these vows that we make at marriage to our spouse become somewhat of a social contract that binds society together. When we look at our neighbors, we know that they have made this promise or another one very similar to it, and that they have done that with one another. And though our relationships are different, we then share that one common bond. Each married couple has made a similar promise. Now, marriage today takes on a very different aspect than it did in the ancient world. When a couple were married, it was less about the creation of a new family and more of joining an already existing family unit. Naomi and her husband, they took their boys to the land of the Moabites because of a famine in Israel. Now, traveling to Moab is significant, especially if you are from Judah or Israel. Moabites and Israelites didn't get along. Moabites were seen as outsiders. In fact, the book of Ruth may have actually risen out of a desire to critique the reforms of Ezra and Nehemiah in a period of restoration for Jerusalem. Those two leaders tried to purify Israel's ethnic identity by casting out foreign wives. So keep it in mind as we read Ruth this morning, and we will look at it again next week. Ruth is a foreigner. She is an outsider to Israel, and that is significant. While living in Moab, Naomi's husband dies, and she's left with her two sons, and they are eventually married. Soon after they are married, and before there are any children born, Naomi's sons die. And what we are left with is a widow, well, three widows. And as women, they suddenly find themselves very exposed and vulnerable in that ancient world. Naomi decides that she will return to Israel as the famine has ended. And she tells her daughters-in-law to remain in the land of their people, to stay in Moab. Orpah takes Naomi's advice, and she leaves. But Ruth, well, she is another matter altogether. She decides that she will stay with Naomi, that Naomi's people will become her people. The speech that Ruth makes to Naomi that Margaret read to us this morning is wonderful and poetic. It ends with the line, May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you. That's the New Revised Standard Version. The Good News translated a little differently this morning. But it is an interesting play on our own modern wedding vows that up until death, we will remain together. Now, coincidentally, that passage from Ruth often gets used at weddings. However, it's probably not the most appropriate wedding passage, hoping I'm not offending anyone right now, as it's lodged in death and despair. At this point in the story, there is no bright light at the end of the tunnel. Now, in the book of Ruth, there is a lot of irony, which is completely lost on us, no matter which English translation you are reading, because we don't read Hebrew, and we don't know what some of these names mean. For example, Naomi means pleasant in Hebrew. However, if we look at her story in this first chapter, it is anything but pleasant. Ruth's name means friend, which surely she is to Naomi as her daughter-in-law. And Bethlehem literally means the house of food, and yet they fled there because of a famine. Of course, it's even more fascinating when you think of the name Bethlehem, when you consider that a man who would name himself the bread of life is later born in Bethlehem. Ruth's story is an interesting one. Why would a woman cling to her mother-in-law? Most women I know don't love their mothers-in-law in quite that fashion. I hear the chuckles, and that's okay. We know it's true. It's often that love-hate relationship that maybe we see portrayed a little too far on sitcoms. Either way, we're not given a clear reason why Ruth decides to stay with Naomi. We might think that Ruth would be better to return to her own family rather than staying with a widow who is beyond childbearing years. There's a children's story by Margaret Wise Brown about a little bunny who decides to run away. The little bunny tells his mother his plan, but she responds that wherever he goes, she will follow. He says he'll turn himself into a fish, a rock on the mountain, a crocus, a sailboat, and any number of other things to get away. But his mother says that she will turn herself into a fisherman, a mountain climber, a gardener, the wind, amongst other things, so that she can find him. At the end of the conversation, the little bunny says, "Shucks, I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny," to which his mother offers him a carrot. The children's story is about the unfailing love of a mother to her child. And we see a similar love, though going the other way, from Ruth to Naomi. That wherever Naomi will go, Ruth will follow. The beginning of the book of Ruth is lodged in famine and death. However, by the time we reach the end of the first chapter, we begin to see signs of life. The famine is gone. Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. New life has been planted, and we witness the love between a woman and her mother-in-law. I find strong parallels between this story and what we read in our gospel lesson from Mark. Here, Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is. Jesus responds with a passage known as the Shema, which is found in Deuteronomy Jesus says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength." Jesus then adds on that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke's gospel, this teaching will continue with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Friends, what Mark's gospel demonstrates to us is that we can't run away from God's love. God calls us into a relationship of love. Often, the belief system we have constructed for ourselves tells us that our relationship with God is dependent on us, that we are the determining factor in our relationship with God, as if we get to decide how things work. We just finished a book on Job, so I think we've put that one to rest, but people, they might exercise this understanding by choosing to either attend church or not attend church, by choosing to believe or not to believe. We think that we are in charge, but we aren't. We think that we can escape God's love, but we can't. There is no escape from the love of God. That just like the little bunny and its mother, God's love follows us. As Christians, we are called to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I see this love of neighbor played out by Ruth and her willingness to follow Naomi. She is so committed to this that in many ways she denies herself. She sticks with Naomi as though she had spoken those wedding vows to Naomi instead of to Naomi's son. In doing so, she binds herself to her husband's family in a way which we might find shocking. A deep system of care is created. I wonder what our family systems might look like if in making our wedding vows, support networks of such deep care were truly created. The love that Ruth models for Naomi is truly wonderful. We see at the end of this chapter that perhaps something good is in store for both Ruth and Naomi. However, Ruth does not make this promise because she believes she will be blessed. She makes her promise of love to Naomi because she loves Naomi, and perhaps because she understands this commandment to love one's neighbor, something that as a Moabite woman, she would not necessarily be versed in. What is even more fascinating is that the woman who makes this profession of love, that the woman who loves Naomi as herself will one day become a distant relative to a man from Nazareth named Jesus. The same Jesus who would sit in the temple courts and tell those gathered to love their neighbors as themselves. In the opening of Matthew's gospel, you will find the genealogy of Jesus. In that long list of difficult to pronounce names, you will find the name of a woman from Moab named Ruth. Perhaps this is Advent come early. You might not imagine that such an outsider would be a relative to Jesus. But then, if you know anything about Jesus' story, this shouldn't be surprising at all. Amen.